Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and according to a new collection of essays, contemporary American fiction is split into two main factions. There are writers who hole up in college towns getting master's degrees and then teaching other master's degree students while writing short stories, and the perpetually broke writers who give it a shot here in New York City, where they need to publish a book in order to afford the obscene rents, but need to work long hours at other jobs to afford to stay in the city. Sound familiar, listeners? And then now comes a collection of essays called MFA versus NYC, The Two Cultures of American Fiction. My guests are the book's editor, Chad Harbach, who is also the author of The Art of Fielding, maybe you know that fabulous book, and one of the founders of N Plus One magazine, and Melissa Flashman, a literary agent and contributor to the book. So, Chad, Melissa, welcome to WNYC today.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us, Brian.
And the title of the book really places New York City as an icon versus going to school. So what's the place of New York in a writer's life that your book even deserves this title?
Well, of course, it's largely because the commercial publishing industry is located here.
What's left of it.
But it's still there. Its death has been – rumors of its death have been going around for a lot of years, but it's still here. Of course, there are a lot of writers who live in New York. But there are also a lot of writers who don't live in New York, but whose hopes and dreams are oriented toward this publishing industry, which exists in Manhattan.
Listeners, I wonder if people are out there right now who are writers who have faced this exact dilemma, MFA versus NYC. And which one did you choose? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Melissa, do you think there's a type who chooses New York City over that MFA track? Is there a type of aspiring writer?
That's a good question, Brian. I think there are some writers who really want to be in the thick of things in New York City, and they've always wanted to live here. For instance, I'm from Lexington, Kentucky. I'm a faculty brat. So for me, New York City is the place to be. And I think that's true for a lot of writers. But, for a lot of writers, you also need money. And that's a very hard thing to get in New York City. And that's something that MFA programs often provide.
One thing that struck me in the book is that between the two camps, MFA programs and people who try to make it in the tough publishing industry in New York City, there is understandably a lot of overlap and a lot of commingling between the two groups, right? People move straight back to New York after their time at the Iowa Writers' Workshop or something and hang out with their friends in publishing and at magazines, while maybe at the same time applying to MFA programs or to teach there. Are the two paths really that separate?
They're not antagonistic. The two camps really come from the fact that as MFA programs have grown and grown over the past 30 years, there's so many more of them. So many writers now earn their living by teaching in these programs. And so MFA versus NYC, in a way, it just refers to kind of the two major ways in which writers earn their living these days, either by publishing books or by teaching in MFA programs.
You said an important thing a minute ago, which refers to something that I learned from the book that wouldn't have occurred to me. Because I thought, hey, MFA, that's almost as hard as NYC. The available positions, especially tenure-track positions, are so competitive. And as colleges and universities are under pressure now, even from President Obama, to emphasize math and science, we know what's happening to the humanities. But actually, you describe growth of job opportunity in that field, right?
Yeah, it's true that as, opportunities have, like you say, really closed down in the humanities, and there are these couple in creative writing and in composition, there has been this growth which has acted counter to the main trend, which is that it's very, very difficult to get a job in the humanities.
And Melissa, some of the essays in the book from writers who have attended and now teach at MFA programs mention the jobs available for writers in creative writing programs. And, to an outsider, this might seem like a good thing. Writers should be able to teach and live in pretty college towns or ugly urban centers with great urban universities with a steady paycheck and maybe even health insurance. Are there drawbacks to this system?
You know, that's a good question. I think there's a lot of anxiety and fraught feeling around being a writer today. And then I reread Chad's essay last night, and I thought it was incredibly optimistic. I felt really good about the state of being a writer today. I do worry that we might in the future have something of a bubble in jobs in the MFA world. There are only so many new writing programs that we can have. I mean, as I said to Chad in the room before, you know, maybe the recent graduates of these programs can go into high school programs, I mean, and teach, and that would be truly wonderful as well.
As a literary agent, do you find yourself biased toward one or the other? You know, are you going to look more seriously at representing somebody who gives you a manuscript when they're, you know, sharing a flat with three other people in Greenpoint, you know, as opposed to somebody who's a master's student at Dartmouth or something?
That's a great question, Brian. I think I don't have a strong preference. I certainly represent writers who have shared flats with three, maybe six flatmates in Greenpoint or Bed-Stuy or Bushwick, and also MFA writers who are out in the provinces for a couple years or maybe longer. I think, you know, for every agent, it's just a good story is a good story. A good query letter is a good query letter, and a very well-targeted letter is a good letter.
Let's take a call. Here's Timothy on Roosevelt Island. Tim, how many roommates do you have?
Excuse me.
I'm just kidding. You're on the air. Hi.
Sorry. I follow basically NYC myself. I always wanted to go to college to learn to write, but I still can't afford it. Hey, basically right now, I'm in the hospital right now because I'm practically homeless. But, you know, I've always wanted to write. Basically, because I read through a lot of books, and I said, hey, I can always do this myself. But the idea of someone said, you should go to college, get your education. I said, basically, if I had the chance, I would. So, But now I can't for now.
Right.
It's just basically piecing the idea together, get the stories together. But now it's basically that I got the stories done. It's publishing or self-publishing, micro-publishing, and it all leaves me scratching my head most of the time.
Timothy, thank you. Any advice for Timothy, Chad?
Well, I mean, Mel should probably give the advice. I mean, it's a hard thing to crack through if you don't, you know, when you're an unknown writer, just kind of pitching people out of the blue. It's probably a matter of how to connect with an agent, you know, via your query to them.
Right. Well, what I would say to any writer out there who wants to be published is first, if you can get into an MFA program that, you know, gives you a full write-in fellowship, by all means, go. That is the dream. But I also think what you get in those programs is often a circle of belief. And if you can, you know, cultivate around you a circle of fellow writers and readers, that's, you know, that's a very valuable thing. I think it's one of the things that many of the essayists in the book talk about.
Good luck, Timothy. Let's go to Paul in Red Bank. You're on WNYC. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I graduated a little over like a year and a half ago with a BFA in creative writing. And after looking at the job market and trying some publishing routes, decided to settle on going for my MFA in children's literature.
And is that because you think there are more commercial opportunities, publishing opportunities in writing for children, or how come?
Children's literature was what I was writing when I was going for my BFA,
uh-huh.
But I wanted to specialize, hopefully, to eventually do teaching,
uh-huh.
Which to me seemed like I had a professor at my community college who told me, he said, Paul, you're a really great writer, but publishing is like a nice pipe dream. He told me that publishing was what occasionally paid for nice family vacation and gifts for your wife.
Unless you turn out to be J.K. Rowling. So, Chad, what do you say to Paul? You could hear Paul struggle with this, would like to be a full-time writer, it sounds like, but it also sounds like he likes teaching. But he gave up on the one because he was advised it's a pipe dream.
Yeah, that's the – you know, I mean, the great, when you go to an MFA program, you know, as he did, it's nobody's going to teach you the secret, you know, of success. You know, what the real value of an MFA program often, you know, is time to kind of find yourself and to kind of work out your own, you know, concerns and just develop your skills and craft as a writer. And then, you know, once you've done that, it's not like going to law school where you come out and go put yourself on the job market and have a job. You know, I hear going to law school is not what it used to be either, but it's, you know, it can be, I mean, I sold my book 10 years after I finished my MFA program. And that seems to me pretty typical in a lot of ways that, you know, there's a lot of there's just a lot of work and time and patience involved for pretty much everyone.
We're talking about writers who hole up in college towns getting master's degrees and then teaching others getting master's degrees while trying to write their books or their short stories and put them out there versus the perpetually broke writers who give it a shot in New York City without trying to hunker down in a university setting, as reflected in the new collection of essays called MFA versus NYC, The Two Cultures of American Fiction. My guests are the book's editor, Chad Harbach, who is also the author of The Art of Fielding, the amazing book that many of you have probably read, and one of the founders of N+1 magazine, the amazing magazine that many of you have probably read, and Melissa Flashman, a literary agent and a contributor to the book. Melissa, in your essay in the book, you wrote, quote, "Ideas, it turns out, can be made popular, and books remain one of the best vehicles for doing so," unquote. And this is a very hopeful view of your industry. So as an industry insider, so to speak, and someone who has studied what's popular, what's your take on publishing right now as sales slide and the big chains are closing down among the bookstores?
And that's a good question. I don't think publishing is in dire straits. I know that's the sort of word on the street, and it hasn't changed much, you know, in terms of overall the health of the industry in the decade plus that I've been here. But I do think there's room for change.
Well, let's take another call. Here is Christos in Palisades Park. Christos, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to say that I was the one contemplating an MFA program here in the New York area. And when they sent me the bill for $24,000 a year, and it was a two-year program, I decided against it. I mean, I already have student loans. It would have been nice if I could get into a program that was free and paid for. But, I mean, statistically, the chances of getting into those programs is harder than Harvard. It's less than 1%. And, you know, I'm just wondering, is the $24,000 a year, $48,000 total bill worth it?
Chad, for whom is it worth it, if anyone?
I mean, it's worth it if you have millions of dollars and $24,000 is a drop in the bucket for you, then it's worth it. I mean, part of the book, we interviewed a lot of writers and people who had attended MFA programs and sort of asked them for their thoughts and their advice. And the one answer that we received more than any other when we asked them for advice was, don't go into debt, don't go into debt, don't go into debt. Because, you know, when I applied to MFA programs, I only applied to the ones that gave you a free ride. And I was very lucky because I got into one of the eight schools that I applied to, and so I got to go for free. And to me, that's the value of an MFA program is as a kind of time away, a little bit of time away from having to worry constantly about money. And so if going to the MFA program is, you know, they're not going to teach you the secret to ultimate success. So if it's only going to exacerbate your money worries, I would get together a group of friends and start my own MFA program in my home.
So advice from Chad Harbach, don't go into debt if you can avoid it at all. MFA versus NYC. Here's an NYC success story, I think, from Juliana in Brooklyn. Juliana, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi. That's really exciting. Yeah, I was just saying I didn't go to MFA for writing. I actually went for something else, and I just taught myself to write through reading and writing and reading and writing. And the two things are so linked that I think it was a really good way to learn. I mean, it takes a lot of time, but but I think it's great.
And you just sold your first manuscript? Is that what I understand?
Yeah. I got my agent through blind querying people who someone told me to look at the acknowledgments page of books that I liked and see who the writer had thanked and look up those people. And it eventually led me to a really awesome agent who, I knew that she would be interested because she is already familiar with other writers like me.
Do you have an agent only or do you have a contract?
I have a contract.
Yay. Do you want to plug your book, even though it's probably a year from coming out?
I don't know. You know, it's funny because I'm so nervous being on the air, and I don't know what the story is going to be, but my book is going to come out next winter. Penguin is publishing it.
Great.
And I'm not sure what else I'm supposed to say.
Congratulations.
I don't have to say anything except thank you when we all say congratulations.
Okay.
Juliana, thank you so much. We're almost out of time. Have you heard about Amtrak offering free long-haul train rides to writers to give them peace and quiet, a room of one's own on a train?
Yeah, well, in fact, the originator of that idea, Alex Chi, is a contributor to the book and wrote a fabulous essay about his time at the Iowa Writers' Workshop.
How do you qualify for this with Amtrak?
Well, I think it's kind of a pilot program, so to speak. I think they're kind of just doing it on the fly and starting to take applications from people. I write with a pen and I don't type.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, and I actually take trains fairly frequently, but I don't like to write on the train because my hand shakes. And then I get very frustrated. So I don't really see the beauty of the Amtrak Fellowship, but I have seen a lot of writers seem pretty enthused about it.
So last question, an aesthetic one. MFA versus NYC, the two cultures of American fiction is the title of the book. Are there separate cultures of American fiction? That is the writing different from people who try the NYC route, trying to make it here as a starving artist kind of writer, versus the ones who hunker down in the universities?
Well, I think there are different stars in these worlds and different writers who people in these two worlds are pointed toward. So I think if you hang out in the kind of community of MFA programs, you're going to talk a lot about story writers like Stuart Dybek and Ann Beatty. And when you're in New York, you're going to talk about, the novel that came out within the past week or 6 months that is on everyone's radar at that moment. So I think there are kind of separate orientations. And certainly one very broad thing you could say is that the MFA world is a little more oriented toward the short story. And the NYC world is a little more oriented toward the kind of big novel.
We will have to leave it there for today. Chad Harbach, who edited the collection of essays that's officially out tomorrow called MFA versus NYC, also the author of The Art of Fielding and one of the founders of N+1, and Melissa Flashman, literary agent and contributor to the book. Fascinating. Chad and Melissa, thank you so much for coming on the show. Obviously, you struck a chord with a lot of creative listeners out there.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Brian.
Thanks for having us.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And still to come, do all mayoral motorcades speed and break other traffic laws like Mayor de Blasio's got caught on tape doing last week? What should the rules be for emergency vehicles of all types on non-emergency trips? Stay with us.